Word, Habakkuk. I'm going to be reading from Habakkuk chapter 3, just a few verses, not the entire chapter. I'll make mention of a little bit of what the book is about. It's not an easy read. But this is these verses that I'm about to read from Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then verses 17 through 19. Dear people of God, let's hear the word of God from the prophet, minor prophet, although there's nothing minor about any of the prophets of God, but it's a minor book, a smaller book. From Habakkuk chapter 3. First two verses, hear now God's word, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. And then skipping to the end there, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on stringed instruments. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts and to our minds. Lord Jesus, bless thy people who are here in your presence. In this holy congregation, making this a holy congregation. For we are thy people, filled with thy spirit. Fill us some more at the hearing of thy precious word. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, once again, it's here, the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And I think that the year has gone by very quickly. I feel that way. I mean, it's gone by the same amount of time as every other year. But it feels like it's really gone by very quickly. I know that they say the older you get, the quicker time travels. Seems to be the feeling anyway. But here we are. Now, Thanksgiving time, some of you. The Canadians already had their Thanksgiving. It's the second Monday of the month of October. They have a national holiday. And our national holiday of Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday in the month of November, which is coming up this Thursday. And I love it. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with having Thanksgiving. But you realize that there's no call in Scripture whatsoever for a national day of Thanksgiving for the United States or Canada or anywhere else for that matter. There's no call of thanksgiving to the unbelieving whatsoever. Doesn't mean they ought not to, but what men and women, boys and girls ought to do or should do and what they can do are two different things. I mean, everyone ought to believe in Jesus Christ, but they will not, like the Pharisees, because they cannot. Likewise, they should give thanks to God, the creator of heaven and earth and all things wonderful. They should, but they cannot. Doesn't mean they can't be thankful to their own little idol, or to themselves, or to the nation, the economy, the political, whatever. But to be thankful to God, to be thankful to the Holy One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is impossible for unbelievers to do. They have an idol in mind, whichever that idol may be. So they can't do it. Again, it's not that they ought not to or should not. They simply cannot. On the other hand, God's people are called to be thankful and to praise him always. Let Israel, the psalmist says in Psalm 118, let Israel now say that thy mercies, O Lord, endure forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, thy mercies endure forever. Let all those who fear the name of the Lord say, thy mercies endure forever. Do you know? So first, it's the people of God that are called to be thankful, to praise him, to honor him, not the unbelievers. They can't. And you're just inciting God to riot, if I may say, by saying they should thank God when they cannot thank God. Unless you, of course, witness that, they should thank God in the name of Jesus Christ. Come to God by embracing Jesus Christ in faith and be thankful for that, yes. But not just be thankful to God, whom you don't believe. You are making them more culpable before God. And perhaps that's what we ought to do. Maybe you think we should do. I'm not going to quibble about that. But the people of God are told to be thankful, to praise him always. And notice, his mercies endure forever. So they're forever sure, they're forever there, they're always present. So the people of God ought to be thankful to him all the time. Now that's hard to do, at least for me. I am thankful, certainly in my better moments, for this nation, living in this nation, all the things that God has provided the nation. I recognize that as a believer. The nation doesn't recognize that, but I recognize that as every Christian does. I mean, they make a lip service to it, but they don't know what they're saying. But we know what we're saying. But sometimes it's a little difficult, don't you think, because of the wars going on, the terroristic acts that are taking place, the partisan divide in this country, the hatred, the animus towards people who hold different political positions. Hostility. And then, of course, there is death and taxes. I don't know how many people are thankful about that. It's hard to do when you have these things pressing in around you, pressing in upon you. But it may not be easy, but it's something that we ought to do. Be thankful, always be thankful to God. And we need to bear in mind that though it may be difficult, it ought not to be impossible for us. That's not to minimize anybody's sufferings. I understand that. It's not to tell you to, keep a stiff stiff upper lip and just endure it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get with the program, man, woman. No. It's not to minimize your sufferings, your illnesses, your difficulties, your troubles, the troubles that are in the nation surrounding us. It's also to remind you, I want to remind you, that Thanksgiving is not dependent. It's not a carnal, frivolous thing. We're not encouraging the scriptures to be frivolous or look for frivolity and the laughter, ha ha ha, and that kind of thing, that lighthearted stuff. That's not what God means when he says to be thankful always, to rejoice always, to praise him always. And the other thing that I want to point up and out from this this book here, Habakkuk, and the verses you just heard, particularly verses 17 and 18, we'll get to them in a minute, is that sorrow and difficulty and trouble does not exclude the idea of thanksgiving. That one does not overrule the other. That both can be present at the same time, because that is what's happening here in the prophecy with the prophet. Both are happening simultaneously. The trouble and the difficulty, the oppression, the sin, as well as giving thanks. Notice what he says here, this amazing word at the end, and well, verses 17 and 18, almost the precise end of the prophecy, where he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, I don't have time to unpack the entire book of Habakkuk as short as it is. Maybe if I were teaching it in Sunday school or something like that, we'd have more time to get into what's going on here. But just to give you sort of a bird's eye view of what was happening, this was written probably around 610 BC. The Chaldeans were coming down upon the Lord's people, and they were really doing them harm, really putting a hurting upon the people of God. And Habakkuk thought at first that this was good. This was right. Why? Because the people of God were not listening to God, because they were not obeying his law, the law of Moses. Because they were all full of injustice and wickedness and going astray to the right and to the left, doing things their way, as they say. And Habakkuk thought that this was the Lord's discipline, using the Chaldeans to discipline the people of God, to get their attention and bring them back. But what happened is that, as the prophet observed, the Chaldeans and their brutality, and the fact that these people were more unrighteous than the Israelites, and they were more wicked than the Israelites. They were just brutes, and they were horrible people. They were terroristic people. The prophet was aghast and took a step back and, wait a minute, Lord, maybe I thought this was a good idea, but now I see that that it's not so good. That these people are more unrighteous than Israel, your people. These are your people, Lord. This is brutal. And that's what's going on in this last chapter where the Lord says, look, to Habakkuk, they're not going to get away with it either. They're not getting away with this. Be patient. Be faithful. And so, on the mountaintop of faith, the prophet writes at the end, although the fig tree shall not blossom. In other words, everything is just wiped out, because that's what the Chaldeans were doing. They were just wiping out everything. And although all this is happening, at the present time it's happening, and it's happening to us, it's happening to me, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 18. Again, simultaneously, terror and thanksgiving. That's what the Word of God says throughout. It's not new what the prophet is saying here. It's brought out in a very clear and consistent way. It speaks to the terror of the day that was happening. And what you should be, what a believer should be psychologically and emotionally about. Giving thanks to God. Rejoicing in the Lord. Always rejoice. I say again, rejoice, as the Apostle Paul writes, in the God of my salvation. The prophet declares that he is going to rejoice. And he does not say, after this terribleness passes. He's not implying that, right? He's not saying that I will, you know, that this horror is upon me. But, you know, I'll force myself. I'll make the best effort I can to be thankful, to be joyful to God. No. He's saying as this is coming down upon us and coming down upon me, instead of collapsing into weeping and wailing and moaning and groaning and complaining, I will rejoice. And I will joy in the God of my salvation in the face of all this, in this hurricane. I will express calm. That's what the prophet is saying here. That's what this book is about. This book is about the righteous shall live by faith, walk by faith, and not by sight. That's what this book is saying. It's saying it then to the people of God. It's saying it now to the people of God. And it's something that we ought to be reminded of often, because I think we tend to forget, because things don't go our way, or because we do have troubles, or we know of people that we love who are hurting, having troubles, and it affects us. But it needs to be made clear, brothers and sisters, that in the face of trouble, in the face of terror, the Hebrew is clear. The prophet says, in the face of all this horror, Chaldeans were terrible. Believe me, they were worse than the terrorists today. They were horrible. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will leap for joy in the God of my salvation. That's what the Hebrew says. I will leap for joy. I will rejoice. I will leap. That was his attitude. And that ought to be ours. He says, the God of my salvation. Do you know what that means, right? God is the author of salvation. He's declaring it here and elsewhere in the Old Testament. God is the author of salvation. He planned it. He purposed it. He laid it away for us from before the foundation of the world, before you and I were born. He laid it away so that day when he revealed himself to us by the grace, by his amazing grace within us, God is the author of my salvation. I rest in that and that alone. He saved me. I did not save myself. I did not make a deal. I did not work for it. I did not plan it. I did not purpose it. I did not will it. God. He is the God of my salvation, the God of salvation, and not another. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we have come to know, is the God of salvation. That's because he planned it, also because he purposed it by bringing forth his own Son who died for his people, his chosen elect people, the people that the Father gave him, had to come to him through the cross. And so, he authored salvation, he planned salvation, he purposed it in Jesus Christ, and he calls us through the Word and the Spirit. He calls us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Again, by his amazing grace. That's how it works. It's God's salvation from beginning to end, first to last, Alpha Omega. It's not God's and man's. The prophet also says, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Notice the personal here, the my salvation. It belongs to me. I know I am saved. I know it belongs to me. It's mine. In other words, God's dear Son came into the world to save me. He went to the cross and died on that cross for me. He rose again for my justification. He ascended into heaven and is controlling all things, including my life right now, my life. And he will take me to be with him, me, someday. It's personal. He's the God of my salvation. It belongs to me now, through Jesus Christ. That's just a wonderful, wonderful word. He says here that I will rejoice in the Lord. You notice that in the King James Version, it puts the Lord in all the letters in capitals, referring, of course, to the name of God, Jehovah, or Yahweh. It's the name of God. Now, why is the name of God here, Jehovah, the I Am, as he revealed himself to Moses, the great I Am? Because the Lord, Jehovah, is known as the everlasting God, the unchangeable one, the one that doesn't make mistakes, that does not have to repent, that does not have to change his ways. He is the unchangeable one. He is the holy and the majestic one. He is the one that said to the prophet Jeremiah, for example, that I have loved thee, my people, with an everlasting love. an everlasting love. I do not change my mind, though you change yours 1,000 times. I will never change my mind towards you. I don't change. That's what the name Jehovah indicates, the great I am. I don't change. I am always faithful. And I loved you with an everlasting love. And so, dear people, when he says, the prophet here says, all this in verse 17, that all this fails, that things are not going our way, are not going my way. Is life going your way? I mean, some of us might say, yeah, it's pretty good now. Some of us, not so. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Notice here, the rejoicing is in the Lord. The joy is in God. It's not in things. See, that's something that you're going to have to teach the young people, you who are older. And I don't know how you're going to do it because you're kind of spoiled. We've been spoiled. We think things make us or should make us happy. I know I fall into that error. Things start making me happy. Things not going my way, not having my way, that makes me sad. That makes me somewhat miserable. I'm not usually a miserable person. Sometimes for a little bit, I just ask my wife. She'll tell you. But normally, I'm not a miserable person. But sometimes things that don't go my way, I get miserable. I get nasty. But this is what the prophet is saying here through the inspiration of God, is that my rejoicing is in the Lord. My joy is in God, not in things. Not in people, not in situations or circumstances or whether I'm sick or healthy or any of that. My joy is in the Lord, in God. Do I rejoice? Does that communicate? I think it's very easy to say, be thankful, always be thankful, be thankful in the Lord, rejoice in the God of your salvation. It's certainly another thing to do. There is a difference between saying and doing, right? And I think that we all need to confess here and to repent here. And we need to focus our attention more on what God is saying and less on all the other stuff that fills your lives and my life on a daily basis and distracts us. You see, you think and I think that all this busyness that we have and all these situations that we're in, all these decisions that we have to make, they're all important. And you can name it what it is. It could be your education. It could be your career. It could be your job. It could be your hobby. It could be whatever it is. That's all important. But my money, my retirement. But this is the kind of stuff that we really need to focus on. Not that we shouldn't think about those other things. We give plenty of time to those other things. None of us are giving those things short shrift. But this is something. I need to really focus on God and on the Lord and not on these things and these situations and circumstances that surround me. Yeah, I need to pay attention to them. I need to deal with them. I need to deal properly with them. If the Word of God says something specifically, I need to apply. But I need to focus on the Lord and rejoice in the God of my salvation. Now, notice this as well, as we sort of sew things up and tie the knot here. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation indicates that I can't do this. I can't be happy. I can't be joyful in my own strength. I need to depend on the God of my salvation, the God of salvation, the God who has purposed salvation in me, the God who has revealed himself in me, to me, through his Son. I need to focus on him. Objectively, I know I am saved. Brothers and sisters, I am saved. I am going to heaven. And I hope every one of you are going there, or else I'm never going to see you again. Because that's where I'm going. I know that. But I know that objectively from the Word. I believe what the Word says. But I also know it subjectively because God's Spirit witnesses with my spirit every time I read this Word that I am His. And every word that I'm saying to you now, I mean with my whole heart and more. I wish I could shout it louder, but you don't want me to shout. I don't blame you. My voice is not that melodious and pleasant as some is, and some are. But this is the focus, the God of my salvation. This is my strength. Not what I can conjure up or what I can develop or what I can go to a counselor for and try to get or what I can glean from some book. No, I must do it in the Lord. I must get this from God. I must believe his word, but I must drink it in. I must imbibe that word. It must swell in me. It's to the point where it just bubbles out of me in every life situation. So yes, I have diseases. What do? I focus on the doctors, what they say. I focus on the medicines, and I focus on so many different things. And I'm not saying that that's all bad or wrong. So, No. God provides those things. But I must focus on God. And guess what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me in spite of all this. It doesn't change my status before you at all. In fact, it's remarkably the case that it draws me closer to you. I know that all things whatsoever are controlled by you, and they're happening to me for a reason, for a purpose, for your glory and for my good. I know it's all going to work out for your good, for my good. And that's what my focus is. And I thank you. Simultaneously, while I'm suffering and going through the difficulties that I'm going through, and no doubt you have your difficulties that you're going through, I can be thankful to God, and I'm so thankful that I can be thankful. And Lord, keep me from sinking into the pit of despair, despondency. Because this is the right attitude to have. This is the right posture to take. No matter what the circumstance is, I am joyful in the God of my salvation. I know that he loves me, and even though I am sick, and even though I have financial difficulty, and even though there's some psychological problems with me, and there are, or emotional problems, God loves me because he said so. He loves me everlastingly, and that brings a joy to my heart. Not necessarily a smile and a ha-ha-ha kind of joy, but a comfort and a peace that passes human understanding. That should be our focus, dear people. That's where our thanksgiving comes from. The God of our salvation. Let us be thankful and pray. Heavenly Lord, this is the focus of the prophet. In spite of the terrorism that was going on in his day, right before his eyes, the destruction that was taking place. It was horrible, Lord. Very horrible. And yet he says this. May we learn in the trials and vicissitudes and troubles, as well as the good things in this life, in this world for us, to rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of our, of my salvation. Praise be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons who have engaged themselves, each person, in our salvation. Bless us on our way. Yes, and may we be a thankful people always. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 716. 716.